will be drawn to worship, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for this church. And we ask of you, Lord, as we go into your word, let your word penetrate into our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. God is so, so good. Amen. Who believes that God is good? Who believes that God is good? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to sound like a T.D. Jakes church here, and all of a sudden, oh man, we're just starting. Praise God. Thank you, Quentin. That's my key. Praise God. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Once again, welcome to New Hope. We're in a series of Revelation, and Revelation is a wonderful book of the Bible, and many times we forget about Revelation, but it's something that we want to discuss. So if you're with us this morning and you haven't looked at Revelation, we were looking at Revelation chapter 2, and we were looking at the letters in Revelation, and the first letter that we looked at is the letter to Ephesus. But this morning we are gearing ourselves to another letter. So if you have maybe a hard time to understand where we're at, you can go back on the website and you can just listen to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, and that will be the first letter to Ephesus. But this morning we're going to be going to part 2 of Revelation, and it's going to be found in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. We're going to get there later on. But as a series is the most important thing, and we know that the scripture tells us here the most important thing is that I bring out this key verse for the whole seven letters we're going to be sharing. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The victor will never be harmed by the second death. And that's a beautiful verse that you and I should just capture and keep into our lives. But it's important to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Amen. Just keep that in mind, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying into the church. The Spirit of the Lord says something to Ephesus, and we've looked at it, and says that you have left the first love. Remember, you have not lost it, but you have left it. And we wanted just to go back to that same passion, the same excitement in serving Jesus the way we serve as when we accepted Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning with us and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that means you are born again into God's family. You're adopted into his family, and Jesus is our victor. Remember that day you were dead, today you're alive. The victor came into your life and gives us that victory and gives us the life in Jesus' name. And this is the church, the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Are we brothers and sisters in Christ? Praise the Lord. We're in the right church. There are different churches around the world. And the body of Christ assembles together, this assembly. What is critical is that they are part of God's church. But what is more critical, that we will be a Jesus church. That will be a Jesus church. Let me explain. A Jesus church. A Jesus church is when the word of God is preached and taught, and that when Jesus is exalted, not watered down preaching. When Jesus' name is exalted, when God's people love each other and grow as a family of God. We are a Jesus church. We don't play with the word of God. We don't just compromise with sin. We don't compromise with the word. What the word tells us, we apply to our lives. And that is a Jesus church. Amen. Now, when we study in God's word and about the church and other churches we need to look at, we have to look through the lens of the scriptures, lens of scripture. We got to look at it profound to see what is God? What is the Spirit of God telling to New Hope Christian Assembly? What is the Spirit of God telling to this body, this assembly? As we've said, we're going to be looking at seven letters of Revelation that John wrote to the churches. And from the beginning, Jesus says, I will build my church. And I'm excited about our church. And I'm repeating what I've said in introduction 2 weeks ago. I'm excited about our church. I'm excited about the future of this church. I'm excited about what God will do and what God has already done in our church. I am excited to see more and more God move in New Hope Christian Assembly. Are you excited with me? Let me hear an amen. And let me tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ is the most important organization on the face of the earth. And when the church is functioning well, filled with the Holy Spirit and believers who listen to the voice of God and fully engaging into the mission of Jesus on earth, there is nothing like it. And Jesus said, Jesus loves His bride. He loves His children. He loves us. He loves every one of us. And our mission as believers is to fulfill the mission of Christ before He comes again. So when you're a Jesus church, when you do what God has called us to do, rest assured you and I will be attacked by the enemy. If there is no attack, it's because you're compromising with the Word. That's a pretty powerful statement right there. When you are compromising, you're not going to be attacked. You're just okay. You're just fine. But when you stand firm on God's word and do what God has called us to do, rest assured, put up the shield of faith, get your breastplate, get everything ready, because the enemy is going to attack you in and out. And that's what happens through the churches. When we stand up for God's word, when we stand up for truth, when we stand up against things that are not biblical, when we stand up and we say there's churches that allow things in the church, they allow sin in the church, they allow that in the church. But remember, if there's sin in the church, there is no blessing of God upon us. So we don't tolerate sin. We hate evil. So we don't play with the word. We're serious with God's word, amen? At times you might say, why is the church not growing as fast? Because we are strong with the word. We don't play with the word. And we're not a sickly friendly church that everybody is welcome. Everybody is okay in the church. If you're this, you're okay. If you're that, you're okay. If you're having four wives, it's okay. No. Does anybody have four wives here? Lord, help us if you do. You might have to go to Shoppers every day. Going back to the word this morning, we see that John is the writer of Revelation. John, the beloved, introduces himself in the scriptures as brother, as a brother. In Revelation 1:9, it tells us that, and on the day of the Lord, he says this in verse 10. Here it is, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I don't know if the scriptures will go up there. I don't know if the PowerPoint works. But we see Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I'm giving my introduction to get to the point this morning. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet. He was in the Spirit. This is what something is extremely important for us. To hear from God, you must be in the Spirit. Amen? You have to hear. People say, I hear from God, but never connect with the Spirit. Never connect with God Himself. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's the same thing as you and I. It's the Lord's day is today. We're in the Spirit, and God spoke to Him the way God is speaking to us this morning. We are in the Lord's day, and you are in the Spirit. Amen? Are you with me? So God is saying, who have an ear, listen to what I want to tell you. He wants to tell us something. But God, Jesus now here, the Lord speaks to John and starts to write a letter. He says, write these letters to the seven churches. He's 90 years old, and all the disciples are gone. John was like a leader, a pastor, and he became a great target at that time. They demanded John to worship Caesar as God. And if you did not worship Caesar as Lord, then they could have been executed. But John is exiled, and he's on the island called Patmos. And the people that he loved, his church, his family, his friends, are far away, and he's missing them. He's far away from this island. He's called Patmos. It's like Alcatraz, like I said. He's here, and all the churches are far away, I believe 35 miles away, 37 miles away, if I remember my history there. So far away, the distance is far away, all alone. He's in the Lord's day, is in the Spirit, and the Lord speaks to him. And here he is, there's a John, he's exiled on the island called Patmos, and he's away from people. And on that day, he has on his mind the Lord, he has on his mind the church and praying for those churches. And when John says he was in the Spirit, he was praying just the way you and I were praying this morning, just the way you and I were worshiping with the brothers and sisters. He was worshiping and he was praying for his brothers and sisters that were suffering for their faith. In the heavenly realm, there is a fight, a war of Satan and the angels in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. And then war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. You'll see when you're doing things for the Lord, when you work hard, when you're in the Spirit, when you're doing things for God, there's fighting in heaven. There's fighting in this place that the angels are fighting against this dragon, against this enemy. He doesn't want us to win. So there we are. The angels are just fighting for us. The enemy's role is to attack Christians. And the enemy's role was to attack that church. The church of Smyrna that we're going to be looking at this morning. Because the thief comes what to kill? Only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Destroy. He's there to destroy your faith. He's there to destroy your family, and he has won. He is there to destroy and bring much destruction. He wants to destroy the church of the mission, the church in their mission. He wants to come in and bring doubt and bring division so we don't fulfill the calling of God upon New Hope Christian Assembly. And he will do anything in his power to bring confusion, to bring destruction, so we lose focus for what we're really truly called to do. Here is this enemy. It's powerful, but we know that you and I serve a powerful God. But the good news is that the enemy will not succeed. Why? Because we are his victors. We are his victors because Jesus is our victor. Yes, church, we will win. You might be saying it's hard, it's painful, it's suffering, but hang on, church, because we are going to win because Jesus is our victor. And nothing can separate us. We're more conquerors, and nothing will separate us. Famine cannot separate us. Distress, persecution. Yes, nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us you are from God. In 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this world. I'm here to encourage you this morning, church. You stand firm. If there is tribulation in your family, if there is suffering in your family, stand firm because the crown of life is there waiting for you. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. There's a cost to pay. Oh, yes, it's painful to serve Jesus, but there's a price to pay. But there's also rewards when we serve Jesus. And that's the crown of life that you and I will have for eternity. And I'm excited to say, and I can't wait for that day when I have that crown of life because we persevered until the end. Church, are you with me this morning? I am just starting. I'm going to go take out my jacket and my shirt. I'm going to start screaming here. Turn off the heaters here this morning. You are from God, little children. And we are going to win. Because Christ is with us. Great is he that has given us victory. We sing a hymn that goes like this. I heard of her old story. Remember that song? How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wrench like me. I heard about his groaning of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented. Remember that day when you repented? Remember that day when you repented? That I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever and ever. You remember that song? Oh, that's a hymn that you cannot stay still. That's a hymn that you can dance. Are you with me, Ulrich? That's a hymn we can dance with that. Oh, victory in Jesus. He loved me and I knew him. And all my lovers do him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood.
So this morning through the message, the passage that we're going to be looking at, we're going to be reading or preaching on this, regardless of our circumstances, regardless through our persecution of life, in life, when we suffer, we can live faithfully. We can live faithfully, but we will suffer.
There's a certain thing in life that's going to happen. It's taxes, suffering, and death. We're all going to face that. Until today, I'm 46. We're still paying taxes. It's never going to finish. And you and I have experienced death in our homes. And you and I have experienced suffering in our homes. It's never going to end. It's always going to be there. All the time. So this morning, if you're the suffering that we're going to speak about, it's about suffering of the result of faith in Jesus Christ. Christians that suffer of their boldness and fearless information of the gospel. And around the world, people are suffering, being persecuted because of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I have no idea the persecution around the world that are facing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Canada, we have no idea. We face opposition. But in the world, there are many who are dying for Jesus Christ. You can just go on the internet. You can see on the news as people die daily because of serving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You know, we don't have people coming in and putting guns in our head, choose Jesus or not. We don't have that. We get persecutions. We get different kinds of persecutions. We get critical. We get slandered and talked bad around. But not this kind of death that pulling them to beheadings and all that stuff there. We are so blessed to be even in Canada. Amen. Stats say this. Look at this. And I said, I wanted to see the persecution, what's happening around the world. And it's just amazing to look at this. The study says that over 200 million Christians worldwide facing severe persecution. In North Korea stands on the top of the list of 50 countries where at least 215 million Christians face the most severe persecution in 2017. 215 million people. It's all Canada. More. Resulting of 3,066 deaths and also 1,020 rapes, mainly targeting women. That is a lot of persecution there for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In China, when they receive those Bibles, rest assured, they're not going to be smiling. They're going to be persecuted. They're going to be attacked. But you see the hunger that they have for the Word of God. We have no idea what is persecution. It was estimated by 2025, 210 million believers dying for their faith each year, often by the hands of religious extremists. So church, we must pray for the people who are suffering for Jesus Christ. So I encourage you when you go home to take a moment and pray for their persecuted churches. There are people around the world who are dying for Jesus Christ. We have seen in Pittsburgh, someone just came in a synagogue and just shot shooting people. We're just seeing this yesterday morning. This is the enemy working in people's lives and just going out and killing people, believers, and killing people just to have that faith in Christ. Now, I don't know all the details about that place, the synagogue, but I know that the enemy is working in people's lives to go and destroy people's lives. Let's go to our text this morning. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to 11, the letter to Smyrna. It says, write to the angel of the church in Smyrna, the first and the last, the one who was dead and came to life. Wow, this is an amazing statement right there. The way he started this letter is amazing. The first and the last, the one who died and came to life. He says this, I know your affliction and poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid. We can use this as a title. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. That means you're going to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you into, and you will have affliction for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Anyone who has an ear shall listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The victor would never be harmed by the second death. Smyrna is now called Izmir, and it's in Turkey. Smyrna was about 35 miles north from Ephesus. Like Ephesus, it was an important port city, and it was famous for its wealth and commerce. It was a very nice place. Smyrna was the home of the famous poet Homer, and it was filled with pagan temples of Apollo. Filled a lot of temples, all of these pagan things that were happening in that place. Smyrna was closely aligned with Rome, and because it was a large Jewish population, it was extremely difficult place for Christians to live. And the text itself includes of the persecution of the church of the hands of the Jews. So what does this Smyrna mean? And I quote, the translate to Hebrew word is myrrh. Like it's myrrh, it's like a perfume, it's bitter, it doesn't smell good. This place was a very bad place. It was one of the worst places you can find. So just imagine yourself, one of the worst places you can find, and this is the church that's placed in that area there, a bad place. People have to worship pagans, people have to worship Caesar, that he is Lord, and do incense and so forth. And if you didn't do that, you'd be decapitated, or you'd been killed, or been executed or put in prison on that. It was a bad place. We are New Hope Christian Assembly. We are pretty good over here. We don't have to bow down to any statue. We don't have to bow down to any other gods except only one true God. We are pretty good here. Amen? But that was a bad place. It wasn't good. It was a place that people needed to call on Caesar and say that Caesar is Lord. And if you weren't doing that, you were killed. This church was planted in a very dangerous place. And here in Smyrna, Christians were being squeezed. It was an adulterous city. It was a dangerous place. So the church was in a worse place on the face of the earth. And the beauty of this, Jesus, the Lord, did not forget them. There's a reason why God places them there. There's a reason why they planted that church there, because they needed to know who is the Lord. That's why they placed themselves in that area there. There was tribulation that was facing, hard times, and they were facing struggles. Christ testifies that he knows of the tribulation. Tribulation means affliction, anguish, persecution, distress, oppression, and straits. It wasn't a good place, and they're facing the worst of the worst, and some of us could be facing the worst of the worst as we speak now. That place was hard. They were facing the most distressful time of their life, but they pressing toward for the purpose of breaking. Gill says this, that tribulation is Christ's legacy to his people, and it is in their way to heaven. Christ takes notice of their persecutions for his churches and what they suffer. So you see persecution, they were tribulation, they were facing distress, oppression. And then also the Bible tells us of what? It says you were poor, you are poor. I know your affliction, poverty. So the church of Smyrna was impoverished. It was financially poor because of doing the gospel, sharing the gospel of Christ. That's what it wasn't because of sin. It's because they were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and allowed this persecution, this poverty to come into that church there. When we do the work of the Lord, the enemy will do anything in its power. He will try to bring poverty into church. He will try to put things in minds to not tithe. He will do anything. He would do distress and tribulation and affliction. So we lose focus what we are called to do. But he tells us something extremely important through the scriptures to remain faithful. They became poor because of sharing Christ, Jesus, sharing the love of the Lord. And that church became poor for that area. He says, I know your affliction. And I know what you're going through. And I love these two points that I've heard one time say. This in a long time when I've read this text. And I want to bring it back to you. These two points is extremely important. Through this text, it costs to serve Jesus, but it pays to serve Jesus. It does cost to serve Jesus. And many of you are in that affliction. And many of you are suffering. And many are being persecuted. And many of you are being laughed and gossiped. But it tells you something. It does cost to serve Jesus. But it also pays to serve Jesus. We don't like the cost. We don't like to be persecuted or laughed or mocked or slandered or talked bad at. But remain faithful because it does pay to serve Jesus. It costs to serve Jesus. Matthew 5, 10, 12, it tells us that those who are persecuted for their righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It says, you are blessed when they insult and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Now, how many of you have experienced something that way? You're doing something for the Lord. You're preaching the gospel. You're trying to share the love of Jesus into someone's life. And all of a sudden, someone is insulting you of doing the work of God. Are you with me? Persecution. We all face this affliction. We all face this kind of backstabbings. But the enemy uses that to hurt us, to destroy us, because we're doing the work of the Lord. In John 15, 18, 20, if the world hates you, understand that he hated me before he hated you. If you have Christ in you, rest assured, people are not going to like you. Because the person that he hates, the person that they hate, is the person that lives within our lives. And his name is Jesus. John 16, 33. I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. You will have sufferings in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. It's not the suffering of a human level. We don't want to, in this text, it's not about that of a human level. But yes, suffering, sickness, pain, heartaches, we suffer. And suffering is real. Pain is real. We face those days. We face pain. We face affliction. We face suffering in our lives, in our home. But in this passage that we were talking about, those are the people being persecuted for Jesus' name. Suffering is for the cause of Christ. Suffering for the cause of Christ. And brothers and sisters, we're going through hell. Sorry my expression. We're going through the worst time ever. And Jesus, the Lord, speaks to John and says, write this down. Yes, they might be going through hard times. Yes, they might be poor. But I can tell them to remain faithful because I'm going to give them the crown of life. You said you're in poverty, but you are rich. Does that make sense? You're in poverty, but you are rich. And the only way a person will not face persecution, as I said before, is when they compromise. You will be just fine. Standing for Christ, you will face persecution. You will be talked bad, you will be slandered, you will be criticized. And you just need to prepare yourselves because those things are just going to happen. Those things aren't going to happen. But I can tell you one thing. And the Bible says it's there for 10 days. I didn't go investigate what does the meaning. 10 days you'll be thrown in prison. But some of us have been thrown in that prison because of the gospel. Some of us are in that prison. You're there. And it's you saying, man, it's not more than 10 days. It's probably 10 years. Or somebody says it's 10 months. Or some of them 10 weeks. But let me tell you something. There's always a start and there's always an end to it. There's always a start to persecution. There's always a start to suffering. There's always a start of pain. But there's an end to it. We don't know what happens in between. We don't know how long is that rope. We don't know how long it's going to be, that pain or that suffering or that agony that you're going through. But I know one thing, it's going to end one day. But remain faithful, he said. Remain faithful. Don't give up because something is there. I have something great for you. I have something great for you, and that's the crown of life. Don't you want the crown of life? So you remain faithful. Yeah, Pastor, but I'm suffering. I look and I see and I sit with people that have this pain, that have suffering, that go through the worst of the worst of life, and sometimes I don't even know how to respond. How can I respond to some of these questions? But I know one thing, remain faithful. Because it's going to end. The tunnel's not going to be forever and ever. You're going to see that light one day. And that day will happen. Do you believe that? Some of us are going through the hardest time ever. But don't you give up, because the crown of life is going to be on your head. The crown of life. Remember, that day is going to happen. I fly away, oh glory, I fly away. And lo, it says, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I fly away. I'm not going to fly away to Hawaii here. I'm flying where there's Jesus. And then he's going to tell me, well done, my faithful servant. Come on in. Give me the crown of life. All those diamonds around, and I'm going to be rejoicing. And then there's not going to be a place of, I fly away, oh glory. No, we're going to be really singing. God is thy faithfulness. Oh Lord, my Father. We're going to be singing those hymns. We're going to be rejoicing. We're going to be dancing. We're going to be because we're going to be in a better place called home. Billy Graham says this: three homes. There's our earthly home. There's our family, a church family home. But there's a heavenly home. Remain faithful, church, because that day will come when you and I are going to have that heavenly home. Remain faithful. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. It costs to pay. It costs to serve Jesus. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but is against what? The rulers, the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual force of evil in the heavens. The devil will throw us into a prison. The devil will try to put us down and bond us and bring us down and tie us down to not move anymore. But I, like I said before, it says there that you will have affliction for 10 days. But we do know one thing. Yes, there's a beginning, but there's also an end of it. Christ encourages the church of Smyrna to be faithful until death. He warns them of what is coming: tribulation, prison, and death. Now, it's going to be pretty hard if Jesus comes to you. You know, church, you're going to be going in the hardest time of your life, and you're going to die for it. Some of you are going to die because of the gospel. How many of us would really be happy? Pretty tough, huh? Jesus comes here and he says, you know, let me tell you something. In 5 days, you're going to prison, and you're not going to listen. They're going to behead you. Yeah. Pretty tough to do. You know, many of us probably will run away in the other direction. I'm not being in this church, that's for sure. But that's what's happening here. That's what he's saying. You're going to be in prison for 10 days. You're going to suffer. You're going to have pain. You're going to have hardship. And that's what he tells us. You're going to have hardship. You're going to have suffering. You're going to have pain. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have all that stuff. But remain faithful. Remain faithful until death. He lets them know that persecution has a set time. And the good news is that there is an end. We don't know why we suffer, but I know there is an end. Look at this here when we know that there's suffering in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, resist him and be firm in the faith. Watch this. Knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Now the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore you, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. Isn't that telling? He's telling us, you're going to suffer, but I will restore you. I will establish you. I will give you the strength and support you after you have suffered. And if Jesus is speaking to us, rest assured that those are the words of the Word of God. Those words are true, and they're active, and they're alive, and they're for us this morning. Brother and sister, if you're going through the hardest time, rest assured He is going to come. He's going to restore. He will establish you, and He will strengthen you until the day. Amen to amen to that. Do you believe that this morning with me? I'm excited for that day. When all my pain and sorrows are gone. When all my persecution is gone. When all the critics is gone. Because I know He's going to restore me. And some of us are going through the hardest time. But remain faithful. Remain faithful.
God's got it. God's got it. And why do I say that? Because Revelation 2, verse 8 and 9. It starts off right to the angel of the church at Smyrna. The first and the last. The one who was dead and came to life. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Be faithful until the end. My brothers and sisters, be faithful. We are going to die one day, but don't be fear. Don't have fear in your life. If you are a Christian, believe. He is the Alpha. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He is the one who's going to help us overcome those situations. He is alive today. He is well and alive today. So any suffering, any pain, any persecution, any affliction, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and he'll come and help us once again. He is alive today. He's alive and well. We sing that song. He is alive and well. Amen. He is alive and well. His presence is waiting for you. He was with you. He is, he says, the risen Christ. So don't be afraid. Don't fear. Fear not, for I am with thee, says the Lord. Fear not. That's what he tells us. Continue preaching the gospel. That's what he's telling them there. Continue sharing the love of Christ. Continue doing what you're called to do. Continue doing the mission of Jesus Christ in the church. New Hope, we continue to do it. We continue to preach Jesus. Don't be afraid, because fear not, for I am with thee. That's what the Bible tells us. Fear not, for I am with thee. So don't be afraid when you go up to someone and say that Jesus loves you. Don't be afraid and tell them, can I pray for you? You're doing something what is biblical. We should be afraid if you compromise the word. Because he's going to come like he did when he said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. He can come and blow the candlelight. Do you want him to blow the candlelight in your church? I don't want that. Do you want him to blow the candlelight in your home? I don't want that. I want that fire. I want that candle to burn every day of my life, because the light of Jesus transforms the lives of people around us. So church, wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and smell the coffee. Remain faithful. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. For I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. In Isaiah 41:10, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you on to you with my righteous right hand. What a wonderful promise of God right there for you and I. Oh Lord, do not fear, for I am with thee. Don't you fear. Don't you fear when you present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you fear. Don't be afraid. Why? Because he is with you. He is with you. He is with me. And when you're going and facing those times of hardships and critics and slander, he will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you with his righteous right hand. Church, New Hope Christian Assembly, this is a Jesus church. We are not going to stop. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not going to compromise with the word. We're not going to compromise with the world. That's okay. That's okay. We just find excuses. No, we're going to stand firm and we leave what the Bible tells us to do. Are you with me this morning? Watch this. It's getting more exciting right here. First of all, there's a song that we used to sing, Fear Not, For I Am With Thee. How many of you remember that? If you're at least 45 and over like me, we can remember that. Fear not, for I'm with thee, fear not. Remember that song? For I'm with thee, fear not. For I'm with thee, says the Lord. Okay. Are we in the right church? Like, really? Hello? Lutheran pastor? He's just younger than me. Wow. I have redeemed you and I've called you by name. You know that song? Child, you are mine. When you walk through the waters, I'll be there. And through the flames, you're not no way be drowned. You're not no way be burned. For I'm with you. For I'm... Come on, church. Fear not. Nobody knows it.
Fear not, for I'm with thee. Fear not, for I'm with thee. Fear not, for I'm with thee, says the Lord. Fear not. Come on, church, be with me. Let's go on to the next point. Let's go. New Hope Christian Assembly, we must be faithful. We must be faithful. Jesus says, I am coming with what? The crown of life. The crown of life. Watch this. And I was trying to figure out. He says this, Revelation 2:10. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Look, the devil's about to throw you, some of you, into prison and to test you. And you have affliction for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's why he said, you are rich. You're poor, but you are rich. Now you are rich because of the crown of life. I can be poor today. I might not have a penny in my pocket, but I know I am rich because I have this crown of life waiting for me. And that costs much more than $1 million in your account. It lasts forever and ever into the kingdom of God. The crown of life. The victor life. In James 1 verse 12. A man who endures trials is blessed. Because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Do you love Jesus? If you don't love Jesus and you haven't ever experienced Jesus, I encourage you to experience Jesus. The crown of life for those who persevere in faith through temptations and tribulations and persecution. A crown of life is special reward for the special act of service and dedication to the King. And John is showing us a picture. Persevere in faith. Fight the battle. Don't give up. Go until the end. I will give you that trophy. You go ahead. Don't you quit, because that trophy is going to come one day. The crown of life will happen. The crown of life will be placed on your head forever and ever. It's like one of those playoff baseball games. They fight. They fight all the way because they know they're going to get that trophy. It's the same thing. You fight, brother. You fight, sister. You don't give up. There's no sign of quitting in your life. You continue. You pursue. You push forward, because the crown of life is ready for you. Don't give up. And that's what he's telling them here. Now you want to know all the pain and suffering it costs to serve Jesus. And if you suffer because of your faith, it pays the price. But it pays to serve Jesus in everything, in every day of your life. It pays to serve Jesus. You will never grow short. You know that. You are facing this. Some of you are facing the worst persecution. Some of you have been, families have abandoned you because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you, families have abandoned you because you have accepted Jesus as the personal Savior, and they exiled you. They threw you away from the family, but remain faithful. I know a brother right here today that is far away from his family because he has accepted Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. We have Brother Hussein there. That's a live testimony right there. He accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and everybody takes off. But he did the right thing. Keep on, brother, because the crown of life is there waiting for you. He won't give up. He knows who he's serving. You know who you're serving. You're serving Jesus, the risen Lord. And here it is. You're probably wondering, who is this angel? In Revelation 2, 8, 9, it tells us, write to the angel of the church of Smyrna. And I was curious to say, who is this angel? It wasn't me. Because my last name is Angeloni, a leader. It was a leader of Smyrna, maybe a pastor. It looked like some commentaries. They say it was a bishop. Bishop T.D. Jakes. See, he's a bishop. Some scholars say that it was Polycarp. And Polycarp was he was in a place, a very dangerous area. Remember, this place, Smyrna, people needed to throw their incense and say that Caesar is Lord. And if they didn't, they would have been killed. They wanted Polycarp to deny Christ. So if he didn't deny Christ, if he denied Christ, he was spared his life. And if he did not deny Christ, something would happen to his life. This Polycarp is like the bishop of this church. This is what happens in his last days, his last moments as this bishop into this church of Smyrna. Polycarp is recorded as saying on the day of his death, 86 I have served him. These are his words. 86 years I have served him, and he has done nothing wrong. Which can indicate that he was 86 years old, that he may lived 86 after his conversion. Polycarp goes on and to say this, how then I can blaspheme my king and my savior? You threaten me a fire that burns for a season. After a while, it's quenched. But you are ignorant of the fire of everlasting punishment that is prepared for the wicked. Polycarp, because of standing firm for Christ, was burned and state of it pierced with a spear for refusing to burn incense to the Roman Empire. And in his farewell, he said these words, I bless you, Father, for judging me worthy of this honor, so that in the company of my martyrs, I will share the cup of Christ. He died worshiping God. He stood firm. He stood firm. He knew what was going to come. But he stood firm because he believed in the risen Lord. Church, are you going to stand firm for the word? Are you going to stand firm for the word? Are you going to stand firm when someone tells you something against the word or something about God? Are you just going to go with it? Or are you going to stand firm and say, this is what I stand for, is the word of God. So here it is, Jesus speaking to John on the day of the Lord in the Spirit and writes this to this church. Be faithful, you will receive the crown of life. I want that crown of life. And I will remain faithful until death. I will remain faithful and strong. Church, as we go on in these days, as we go on in the next year, some of you might be slandered because of people, because we're doing the work of the Lord. Continue doing it. Continue serving. Continue giving with a passionate heart. Remember one thing. God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? So let's all stand this morning as we conclude this morning, as the music team will come forth. And here I want to leave you this. Be faithful, New Hope Christian Assembly, friends, until death. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Do your best to see Jesus daily. And tell as many people that Jesus is love and is still in the business of changing and saving lives. And the Bible tells us this in Revelation 2:11. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The victory will never be harmed by the second death. So church, we have heard the word of God. We have heard the Spirit of God speaking to us this morning. And this is my encouragement to God's word this morning. Be faithful. Be faithful until the end. Do what you're called to do, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The crown of life is waiting for you. Amen. Let's sing the song together and then we'll pray.